Hello, everyone. Welcome to Social Speak Network, our entrepreneur interview series. I am Amber Irwin, and I'm so excited that we have another power couple that we are going to be interviewing today. And we're going into the web development freelance world. So hold on. We're super excited for this because I think with Jeff, you'll probably agree with me. Website design is something that everyone knows someone that does it. And so the key of being a website designer is being a really good one that people trust and that you have been able to build a business off of. So I want to jump in and talk with Jeff and Nancy on how they got started on this journey.
All right.
Yeah.
So you want us to start?
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourselves, who you guys are, how you got started in the website design business.
Go ahead.
Passing the buck.
Yeah, well, you know.
So I come from corporate America. I used to run corporate IT departments for a living. And so have a very strong technology background. I had a staff of somewhere between 10 and 15. We pretty much handled everything in the business from hardware, software, programming, creating applications, obviously anything to do with the web. We had several websites. That's pretty much it in a nutshell. So the last company I worked for was pretty interesting in that they were a management consulting company servicing the small business industry. And pretty much every field you can think of. And what I found fascinating is they were going out and doing these management, quote unquote, management consulting engagements, trying to help these small businesses grow. And as I'm watching all this, the one thing I found interesting was there was never any kind of technology or marketing component per se to it. Whatever marketing component they did seem to have was honestly old school.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot going on with the online world that we all live in today. And it's long ago. So around 2008, I was still with the company, and I put together a business plan trying to convince them to basically create a separate arm of the business just to do technology and marketing type services, but focusing heavily in the online arena, which obviously included social media as well. And they liked the plan, and around 2009-ish maybe, they said, okay, well, let's go test it a little bit. So we tested with a few clients, but they started to look at it as though we were competing directly with their core management consulting side of the business.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
So as all of a sudden, we would get a client who would really be enjoying the services and like, wow, this is really what we needed. They actually thought we were taking revenue away from their core management consulting side.
Weird.
So they kind of basically shut the whole thing down. Like, instead of thinking, wow, there's a real opportunity here, let's go get more of it, they saw it as a threat.
They also saw it as a threat because at the time their core business was really suffering.
Yeah.
And so they were almost like, I think they were afraid of it, to be honest with you. And so
they knew.
They ended up actually shutting down their company like the following
year. Yeah, after I left, of course. So,
yeah.
So in the 2009-2010 period, I basically took the same business plan that we had put together for them and I tweaked it and modified it for myself and I went and I created No.
Okay.
So when we started off, we actually began as what was called Known Technology because we were doing website design development, online marketing, and we were doing IT.
Oh, wow.
So after getting involved in all of that, and we probably in a matter of about 2 to 3 years, we had assembled a client list of somewhere around 150, 200 different clients. And it just kind of got to be too much dealing with the IT and the website side of it. So we elected to stay focused on the website design development and the online marketing components. And we offloaded all of the IT services to other folks who we actually knew who did that. And they were very good at it. So that kind of allowed us to kind of create some referral partner networks there with IT folks who had their own set of clients.
Right.
we had our set of clients, and it just turned into natural referrals back and forth, which I wish I would have done at the beginning, but, you know.
It's one of those things. Random calls.
Yeah.
People saying, hey, can you help me with this? We're like,
yesterday from a client who's been our client for years, and he's asking me all these IT questions, and then and I just said to him, I said, Mike, but I'm not your guy.
So when you started the business, I mean, was it just you, like, did you guys have people that worked for you? Nancy, were you involved like in that time too? Or Jeff, was it really just you?
No. So we kind of went all in. So because I came from this corporate world, I actually had staff who worked for me who had different areas of expertise.
Right.
So I actually took them with me. So when we, from the moment we opened the business, we had a staff of four.
Wow.
It's been up and down since then, you know, either adding, subtracting and whatnot. So we came out of the gate full press on. One of those folks was, believe it or not, a telemarketer. Who we had hired to kind of help us get some business off the ground.
Right.
Telemarketing in years. Yeah. We probably did it the first 2 years of the business, maybe into the third year.
Mostly
year one and two to really kind of help us get established and bring in some new clients. But since then, it's been all referral based.
Okay. Well, I kind of came in because I worked in the mortgage business and I still carry my license, but one of the things that he noticed about me was just like, you know, you're out, you're meeting all these people, everybody knows you. He'd go somewhere and they'd say, oh yeah, yo, is your wife Nancy? And he was like, okay. And so getting involved in, and see, starting to happen now too. Like, we've been here a little over a year. He'd, like, the other day we were at something and some lady goes, oh yeah, we met at blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it was kind of funny. Right. But anyway, so that's how I got involved in trying to do the marketing piece of it. Because, I mean, I learned a lot over the last, 10 years now we've been in business, you know, about websites, and I can speak it comfortably now, on how to build a website, nor do I want to build a website. But as far as the marketing piece goes, I can go out and meet people and glad hand and make relationships and then make the introduction and the handoff to Jeff and the rest of the team. So that's where my strengths are. And I think that for us bodes well, just being a married couple, because we know where we both strengths and weaknesses. So
definitely. And so what was it like, you know, because you guys have kids, right?
Yep.
And they're a little bit older now, but how old were they when you left corporate?
So our son was,
he was graduating high school.
Yeah, he was just graduating high school. Yeah. He was going, that was scary because he was going into college.
Yeah.
embarking on this scary adventure of being, you know, business owners.
Yep.
And so that was kind of scary. Our daughter was young. She was only six.
Okay.
So she was still at home, but yeah, he was embarking on college and we were like, okay, can we do this and college? And the thing where it was like, hey, if you still want to go to college, that's fine, but you're probably going to have to take out some loans because aren't going to fund it. But, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, I think it ended up being probably the best decision ever that we made. I mean, we had bumps in the road for sure. And we still do. We're a business. Everybody has bumps in the road. Ebbs and flows, highs and lows. But, you know, if you overcome them, I still wouldn't want to go back to corporate America.
Exactly. Well, and what is, you know, like I said in the beginning, I mean, website designers, it's kind of, it's one of those industries that a lot of times you're going to hear more negative things around than a positive experience, because same with social media management. It's like, oh, you know, I paid somebody $3,000 a month to do this and it never happened. And I'm like, you know, like, we're not going to do that. But with that, you know, having that kind of negative feel around the industry or having all these other tools like Wix or Shopify or Weebly that you can build your own website, how do you stay like on top of mind with your clients? How do you make them feel comfortable that it's okay for them to pay this price, that you're a trustworthy company, and that it's better to have a custom site than trying to do it yourself, which is a big no-no.
That's low. So here's what's interesting. When the Wix and the Squarespaces and even web.com to some extent,
GoDaddy.
And there might GoDaddy's got their website.
Yeah.
Cool. There's several out there. But when they really started to hit the market hard, we were obviously well into our business at the time, doing a lot of custom websites. And we thought, you know, we need to kind of understand these platforms better. So we would have businesses approach us and say, hey, I'm considering doing this Squarespace site or this Wix site. I'm not quite sure what I'm doing. Can you help me? So all of a sudden we said, yeah, you know what? We will. And we'll work in their platform. And it was probably the best thing we could have done because it allowed us to learn what we can and cannot do.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to today, I know what all their weaknesses are, and there are many.
Yeah.
They really were designed, and they still are designed, really for volume and for really small, simple websites.
Mm-hmm.
As you start to get outside anything super basic, you're kind of going to get lost with them. And what really surprised me the most with those platforms is they do a horrible job with any kind of search engine optimization with Google.
Right.
To find out that we were putting these sites together for folks, I couldn't get them indexed on Google to save my life.
Yeah, we were doing all the same things that we do on our own, you know.
Yeah,
we,
same best practices. Yeah. We're working and working and working hard at it, and all of a sudden nothing's happening. And I'm like, there's something inherent with these platforms that Google just doesn't like.
That's frustrating.
It was very So we kind of had to basically say, okay, enough's enough. And we just don't work in them anymore, and that's my reason. I'll just flat out tell people, I could, but it's of no benefit to you for me to do that. So we encourage them, and I explain to them why.
Yeah, and the other thing is, too, I mean, we feel like at the end of the day, we could still help them do that, but we'd be taking their money foolishly.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather them spend a little more on a website that I know is going to work.
Yeah.
And to spend money on a Squarespace site that isn't going to get them anything, and then they're mad at us. And then, you know, we lose the potential client, and we lose the potential for another referral from them.
Yeah.
For them to talk good about us, you know, because what do they say? If you have a bad experience, you tell 10 people, but if you have a bad experience, you only tell 3.
Right.
So, you know, I would rather make that client happy, or unfortunately, if they can't afford our services, then simply say, I'm sorry, we can't help you. But you know, I'd rather have that client walk away than have somebody
it's just not
a smart thing. So I think keep honest.
Yeah, well, exactly. To stay honest with them and explain to them, you know, why, just because you don't work in those different areas, I mean, you know them. And I think that that's like a big thing, because a lot of times they only know one platform, or they sell you on that. So being able to understand the weaknesses and pros and cons of each of them, and then leading them into that right direction. I mean, in today's world, I mean, to have a bad website is just, you can't afford to, because I mean, that's how people are going to find you. So yeah, being honest with them and educating yourself and them on why and which direction to go into.
In addition to that, the other thing we've had to sort of, you said, you know, how do you sort of defend yourself? The other thing we defend ourselves on is the Wix and the Squarespace, and GoDaddy seems to be the one that we seem to have the biggest challenge with, is that people will go out and build a website, or and they'll have it hosted by those platforms, and come to find out later that their site was hacked. And now we had a client that had a website that was hacked. It was completely in Japanese. And they came to us because they were referred to us by, you know, another client of ours, and we couldn't help them. We said, yeah, we can help you, but we're going to have to rebuild your site because, unfortunately, they went with the cheapest hosting platform that doesn't have any type of managed services.
No security.
And backed up.
No security.
No backups, no updates, no nothing. And so, you know, sometimes we have to justify our costs there.
Definitely.
But at the day for the protection, I mean, people's Social Security numbers are getting hacked. So do you want your website hacked too and have to start all over? I don't think so.
Exactly. That security piece is huge. And I think it's something that, you know, small businesses, any business, honestly, but the smaller businesses need to be more and more aware of, because that's where they're so vulnerable, taking information. And if that website gets hacked, I mean, all that information's out there, yours and the people that, you know, your clients or people that have signed up for your list or whatever. So that's huge. What has been the biggest obstacle for you guys so far?
From our business partner?
that was
And former business partner.
Yeah, I when I started the business, I did actually have a business partner. We were 50-50 partners in the business. And I had to buy him out in 2015, I believe.
Okay.
Just for, we weren't going anywhere. You know, you hit a, you kind of hit a plateau and it's, and you feel like something's holding you back. Well, so you gotta make a move.
Yeah.
Thing for me was to simply just buy him out, send him on his way, and let me continue to move the business forward the way I think it needs to go.
Yeah, and I think that's another thing too that, you know, business owners should know is that going into a business, you really need to know your partner. I mean, Jeff and I are good partners because we have a good marriage and we have a good relationship, and, you know, and again, we know our strengths and weaknesses. I think at the onset of this business, when Jeff and his former partner got together, they were both really excited about the aspect of being able to help the small business owner, because that was their goal.
Yep.
But as the business grew and it changed, all of a sudden they realized that their vision of the long term of our business was not what each of them wanted.
Right, yeah.
And one of the things that the challenge that his partner faced was just me being in the business. So it was, you know, he didn't sign up for, you know, a husband wife business. And I was like, well, that's not really how it is. I was really trying to help grow the business, but
on the pavement.
I'm out pounding the pavement every day and meeting people and referrals. And he's mad because, you know, $20 on a lunch for, you know, a referral networking group. And
that's like, right.
So I think those are challenges that business owners really need to look at. It's not just having this great plan in place, but who are you partnering with? And does that person have the same vision for you or business?
Exactly.
Probably one second big obstacle that all of us face, and that is that you can't help everybody.
Yeah.
We've done sites in over 80 different industries, and it's exciting. I mean, we've seen pretty much anything you can think of. Kind of cool, because you pick up little tricks and things that you can take from one industry and apply it to another industry, which is kind of nice. But now that we're well into it, we've kind of realized that you need to sort of focus a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be everything to everybody, but let's pick the industries that we know we're really good at, that we've developed a lot of skills in and a lot of knowledge.
Yeah.
And let's focus mostly, if we can, on those. So we rarely will turn someone away just because we say, hey, we do a lot of work with attorneys and you're not an attorney.
Right.
That's not the case. I will literally take the project serious and decide, is this the right thing for us and them before I dive into it. But honestly, one of the big obstacles is just trying to be everything to everybody, and you need to focus a little bit.
Yeah. Okay, I love those, because I want to touch on the partner one first, because Caitlin and I have been business partners for over 8 years, and it's been, you know, that's something that we really work with a lot of clients on, is that partnership. You know, are your core values the same? Do you guys see, you know, have the same vision? And I feel like this is where a husband-wife team does work so well, because you guys see, okay, this is where we need to go. And if we want to get to this point, like, we need, the business needs to be at that level. And so having a business partner, yeah, you guys have to be on the same page. And that's, you know, Caitlin and I, it's like, we've been with 10 years in business, and we're like, okay, now what? Like, where do we go from here? And so, yeah, if I just saw myself just working with the small local businesses, not wanting to grow, being content with where we're at now, and she saw us in a much bigger picture, it wouldn't work. So yes, having it, when you have that business partner in the beginning, it's so fun and exciting, but getting to learn about that person and know, okay, what are their core values and where do you see yourselves going, and is the work really 50-50? Because that's, you know, a lot of times, you know, that happens in those businesses too. So it's important that you have the right person, you know, to be able to, whether that is a husband wife team or a partner, you know, Caitlin, but yeah, knowing what their goals are, where they see the business going, and how hard are they willing to work for that goal.
And those are, of course, going to change. I mean, as your business grows and evolves, your values and your vision is going to change. I mean, it did with us when we started the whole technology thing. We were like, hey, this is cool. Like, you know how to do technology? Like, why don't we introduce this part? And then we were like, oh, this is taking up entirely too much time and I'm under people's desks and that's not what I want to do.
Yeah, no.
You know, it's just, it's that kind of stuff where, you know, focus on what you're good at. And that was one of the things
and
that...
That's not what we work good
at. No, it's just what the reason that we did that is because what we realized is, and that was actually post-business partner, is that when we realized that the business partner was doing a lot of the websites and Jeff was handling more of the sales and I was handling sales and then he was also doing the IT, that we realized when we actually took over the business 100% and we dove into the old websites that the partner had done, we were like, what, this is a mess.
Yeah.
Like, not what we wanted our client to get. And so we were actually going through and fixing his work unbeknownst to our clients just to make sure that their website functioned properly and did what we had promised them.
We took our eyes off the ball.
And so, and that kind of evolves with, you know, do we keep employees or do we just do some ourselves? And even though maybe some weeks we're working 60-hour work weeks or 70-hour work weeks, I'd rather do that and have a happy client again than pass it along to somebody who really doesn't give a damn. More deliverable.
I would never tell anybody not to have a business partner.
I
would say a lesson learned on my own, if you feel that a business partner can really add a lot of value to your business, there's a way for each of you to get out. One thing we didn't have, you know, and that's just
having that exit strategy.
We did not have that at all, and so it was bumpy to go through that divorce, so to speak. Advice is go into it, but have a plan to get out.
And that's huge.
Divorce can happen.
And you want to make sure that you're covered and that they're covered, and it's you know, because it's you're going through a divorce, and that's never pretty.
No, it's not fun. It's a distraction too, especially when you're trying to run your business on a day-to-day basis.
So I wanted to kind of touch on this, picking a niche market, because this is something I feel that freelancers struggle with a lot, because, and we're all guilty of it. I mean, we're the same way. We just now, again, 10 years later, have figured out who do we really want to work with. I mean, we're not going to turn somebody down because they need social media help, but as you grow and you work with a lot of different, you know, types of businesses, you know, you're able to then really define, okay, this is who we want to work with. But with, you know, when somebody's starting a business, they don't feel they have that freedom or flexibility to pick and choose right out the gate. They want to work with everyone. And I think there's pros and cons to that. And like you said, Jeff, you know, you've worked within 80 different industries, so you know a lot. And do you feel now like having a target market, if someone were to start a business, to would you say to start having a target market early on and go with it, or to explore options and then define one maybe a few years into the business?
Yeah, that's a tough one.
There's pros and cons to doing
that. Because I mean, if I were starting off fresh with no clients, you certainly don't want to close the door on an opportunity that can help put food on the table. But at the same time, maybe instead of looking at 100 different industries, maybe we pick 10 that are closely related and let's start there. And then as we go, maybe shrink that a little bit. And let's face it, there are industries out there where there's more volume than there is in others. So it will vary. I mean, if I were coming out and saying, all I want to work with is auto repair shops. Okay, well, there's a lot of those around, and maybe you could make a go of that. Or there's a lot of attorneys around, so maybe you can make a go of that. Somebody came to me and says, I just want to work with plumbers. I'd probably say, well, why don't you do the HVAC guys and the home guys. And just put them all together because they're kind of all part of the same family. They're good referral sources amongst one another. People got to think about that too. Whatever industry you might choose, just remember there are partner industries that they work with good because they all talk to one another.
Definitely. That's huge. And that's a good idea to kind of keep it in that, you know, when you start business on your own, you don't, you know, we had learned early on, we had a couple attorneys in the beginning stages, and I was like, no, that's not really fun for me. I don't like to do that. So not our target market. So, but it was interesting because it did, you know, it allowed us to explore different things. But I like that idea of starting with 10 topics, industries that you are just personally involved with or interested in, because then that's going to obviously help you do a good job on that work because it's something you're passionate about as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think as if those 10 have some sort of relationship with one another, it's going to help. I mean, I wouldn't pick manufacturing and then do plumbers. I mean, they have nothing with one another, but you know.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Okay. So you mentioned this a little bit ago, Nancy, in the beginning, but so you guys have almost been in business for 10 years. And have you ever looked back? I mean, you have two kids. One's going into or is in college, right?
No, he's done. Gone. He's graduated.
Okay, so he's done. And then the daughter is in
high school.
High school and prep college, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so was there ever a time that you guys looked back and said, wow, I wish I was in corporate?
I would say the only one thing about corporate world, and maybe it was just me in particular, but I was the guy in charge, so I'm not going to lie. I had a big salary. Do I miss my salary? Yeah, there's times when it was nice. We definitely took more vacations then than we do now.
Right, yeah.
But the trade-off is, wow, I can give up that big salary for this all day long.
Yeah, and I think that's the same for me. I think the financial, you know, I guess, loss, if you will, because it was a loss. I mean, we both were in a position at that point where we were both earning six-figure salaries.
Right.
It was good. We lived in a fat house, and we drove nice cars. And now it's kind of come down to, do we still have a nice house? Yes, we do. I don't drive a nice car, I don't think. I drive an older car. It's not, you know, it's not a brand new Lexus, but it gets me from point A to point B. And, you know, but I think for me, the thing was if at some point in time I was never able to provide for my children or put a roof over my head, then it kind of came to the point where it was like, okay, if that was going to be the thing that was going to be the crux in my side, and I was going to have to go back to corporate, then of course I would do that. Did we both make sacrifices? Absolutely we did. You know, we didn't do the things that we used to do so that our kids have shoes and clothes, still the things that they wanted, and that was okay. You know, so we didn't go out for a nice dinner 1 week or 2 weeks. I mean, those are the things you do. And again, I don't, now looking back, I think because, you know, what do they say? I think small businesses, after you get through year three, they say you're good.
Right.
Is that typically?
Yeah. Between year three and seven, then you're...
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, year one sucked. It's just not going to lie. But it was fun because it was new.
It still is fun.
And it's still fun.
Right.
You get a rush. That's another reason you would never go back, is that I wouldn't get the same rush.
No.
I mean,
no.
There's nothing more exciting than getting this call from a small business owner, and all of a sudden you go put together a website, online marketing plan, and they see results, and they're so excited.
Right, and they're getting compliments, and people are telling us, it's beautiful, who did it? And, you know, so, I mean, that's the fun part. And we, you know, for a while, we also help our clients, and we monitor kind of their website and see what kind of, you know, traffic they're getting and that going all the time. Mm-hmm. And so... and say to them, you know, hey, I see you're getting a lot of traffic, or you're getting some leads, or whatever. They're just like,
see that investment working for them.
Exactly. Yeah. And you see them light up. So I think it's fun. And even early on, before their website is launched, to hear them talk about it. Oh, I can't wait. You know, like MJ was talking about our group, and she's like, I can't wait for my new website. I mean, people are just excited about it.
Exactly. And they need to be, because I mean, that's a huge piece of their business. And so,
absolutely.
And I think that, you know, you guys mentioned, you touched on, like, it's one thing to have, like, and if you have the big fancy things, that's fine. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. Trust me. But to know, like, that you have your own business, that you are able to provide a roof over your head, to put, you know, one child through college and the second one right behind, and now being able to, you know, really enjoy what you do. And I think that that's a big thing when I interview people, is that they miss the money from corporate, but they don't miss mm-hmm. anything else.
No.
And yeah. and they'll have the capability and the freedom and the flexibility to work from our cars an hour a day.
Exactly.
You know, be
or
able
Starbucks.
To, yeah, exactly. And so it's, I think that, you know, that money, you can replace that money like that, you know, but you can't replace those memories of missing out on your kids or not being able to have this experience because of corporate and the corporate stress. So, you know, when somebody's thinking of becoming, you know, a freelancer or starting their own business, there is a lot of sacrifice. It's a lot of hard work, but I think in the end, it definitely pays off. And I think that it's something that 9 out of 10 times people are like, oh, I'm happy. Yeah. You know, I don't look back on it.
I also think that the other thing is to, people need to be confident and take a leap of faith. Mm-hmm. So I see people, you know, we've even had some as clients, where, you know, they're kind of like, well, yeah, I'm doing this cookie business and you're, okay, but what do you do really in real, you know, how do you make money? And they're like, well, I, you know, I'm an attorney. Like, okay, so are you an attorney or are you making cookies?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of funny because the focus isn't there. And so yeah. the focus is, I really want to make money because I'm an attorney, but the passion is I really want to bake cookies. And they keep the passion because they're afraid to take that.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I think sometimes you really have to, you know, one of your questions was, did you have a business plan? I mean, he had a really good business plan. And, you know, I think you do have to have a plan. And part of your plan is, how are you going to market yourself and how are you going to pay to keep a roof over your head while you're growing your business?
Definitely.
You know, so those are two key things.
Yep.
So, yeah. I mean, I think people need to really just go.
Do it. Yeah, I know, and it's scary. It's, you know, there's, even when you just make a change in your business, it's, you know, scary to know if that's right or wrong, good or bad, but you don't know until you try it. So taking that leap of faith is huge, and just jumping in and trying.
We did that last year. I mean, moving down here, the faith for us, because we really, I mean, we have, you know, I have a friend that lives in Safety Harbor, but that was really our only tie to anybody. So we came here not knowing anybody and growing our business. And I mean, again, not going to lie, it's been a tough year, but we're really starting to see the momentum of our year of hard work. And it's starting to pay off. And like I said, people are starting to know us and refer us and, you know, so
you're building that brand.
Exactly. But we're just starting over and in a place that, you know, we didn't know anybody.
No. Yeah. Yeah. No, I hear you. So is that, okay, so last question, what is one piece of advice that you would give someone that is looking to start their own freelance business? I mean, you've given a lot of good nuggets, but if you could give one thing, what would you sum it up and be?
Do your homework. I know that's kind of broad, but there's homework on a variety of things. One is you really need to understand the industry that you're going into. You really need to do your homework on competition.
Yeah.
You've mentioned that earlier about the different businesses out there, and we kind of, both industries kind of get a bad rap.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that, because people jump into it completely unprepared. They think they know something they don't know. You see it in social media. We see it on the websites every single day. They just wake up on the website. Yeah, I'm going to build a website today and make a business out of this. And they start, and they really pull out a bad deliverable. And then people like us come get involved. You know, God, we can produce good work, and we have a good reputation. We'll get those phone calls to go clean up the mess, but you got to be really good at what you do.
Yeah.
You got to have a passion for it. You have to absolutely do your homework on the competition, and you better have a plan. I think it's interesting, and you'd probably find this with your work, in that we are marketing companies, and that what our service offering is. Yes, I build websites. We're not a designer. We can do development and e-commerce and all that. But it really comes down to it. It's a marketing tool for businesses. Just like social media is, they're all marketing tools. And I'm still blown away that a lot of the businesses we deal with, regardless of their size, really don't, A, have a plan, or B, have a thought of, well, how much should I put back into my business to market my business?
Right.
So So anytime you ask the question, what's the budget? I'm like, I don't really have them. I get it. But we need to have that conversation.
Right.
And basically put some money back into the business to do these things. Otherwise, you're not going to grow.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of giving you a roundabout answer to your question.
Yeah.
Advice, but honestly, it's really just knowing your industry, knowing who your target market is, doing your homework on your competition, being committed, have a passion, and just make sure that whatever you are going to put out as a deliverable, that you're just the best at it.
Yeah.
You absolutely have to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it.
Cool.
Thank you guys so much. We got a lot of little tips out of here today, and I think it's good. I mean, you have to, Jeff, I can't agree with you more than doing your homework and knowing your competition, and especially in the digital marketing world, because they're, you know, we're a dime a dozen now, so we got to make sure you stand out and do your work well and build those relationships, because once you're in for the website and you have that relationship and that trust, it's only going to grow from there. And so, I think that's important, knowing what your budget is to be able to put that money back into the business. And, you know, you got to spend money to make money, and you need to know where to spend that money wisely so it's going to have a return. And Facebook is not a website tool. You cannot use Facebook for your website. It's really important that whether you're a freelancer or just, you know, a brick and mortar business owner, but you have to have a custom website, because that is your brand. That's how people find you. And if you don't have that, I would be surprised if you made it past the 3 years.
It's true. Yeah.
You know,
I'll add to you is that I think, and you probably experienced this too, Amber, is we're a service industry, right? We don't necessarily come out and repair your air conditioner and then it gets cool in your house right away.
Yeah.
You don't see immediate results from us.
Exactly.
I think where the frustration lies, I think from as a business owner and from the consumer's perspective, is that they're looking for immediate results. They want that diamond in the rough. They want to know that the website is the magic bullet, or Facebook is the magic bullet. And, you know, it's not. It's part of the magic bullet.
Yeah.
You have to do so many things to get to that point, and people just don't realize that. And so oftentimes what I'm leading to is that they can't justify paying for the service. And it's a frustration on our end, because we think to ourselves, gosh, if you're not going to invest in your business, then I don't know how to help you. And that's sad in a way, but I think people just want, we're an impatient society. Immediate results, you know? Mm-hmm. So when we take our car to the auto shop and it gets repaired, we want to make sure we don't hear that clicking noise, or we don't hear that.
It's that instant gratification.
Exactly. So that's one thing too, is that remember service industries. If you are a business that's going to provide a service, that's a frustration that you might have to overcome, versus a business that provides a tangible thing that does get immediate results.
Yep. No, and that's 100% true. I mean, just with, you know, we can see that all the time in the social media management, is they want to spend this much, but they want, you know, and I'm like,
exactly.
You work like that. So yes, you know, knowing again, that goes back to, knowing the budget, knowing what their value is, where they see themselves going, and then being able to be confident in your guys' service, or, you know, whatever service it is, and the pricing, and saying, this is why this is this price, because of this, this, and this. And yeah, and that you can't help everyone, but you're going to try your hardest to do it. So, well, thank you guys. And how can people find you if they are needing a website, SEO work? Where can they find you guys at?
KnownBeKnown.com.
And that is KNOWN.
Yes.
Get Found, Be Known. Or they can call us 866-217-0955.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
All right. Thanks, Amber. Have a great day. Bye.